Hey, everybody. The fall of Minneapolis. How did George Floyd die? Did Derek Chauvin kill him? You might think you know the answer to that question, but you need to listen to this episode as we dive deep into a thought crime and into a very well-researched journalistic piece around the fall of Minneapolis, the truth behind George Floyd's death. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Subscribe to our podcast and open up your podcast and type in Charlie Kirk Show and become a member at members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Members.charliekirk.com to listen to all of our episodes advertiser-free and be part of a community that asks me questions every Friday, members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. There is a viral documentary that we all need to support. It is called The Fall of Minneapolis. It's doing very, very well. Millions and millions and millions of views. And joining us now is Liz Collin as we talk about George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, and the film The Fall of Minneapolis. Liz, welcome to the program.
Charlie, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Liz, tell us about the documentary. I have a lot of people talking about it. It's doing very well. Introduce it to our audience, please.
The Fall of Minneapolis came about after I put out a book called They're Lying, The Media, the Left, and the Death of George Floyd. Did that in October of 2022, but we wanted to kind of take this a step further, knowing that not everybody reads books nowadays. And I think the book gave many people courage to come forward for the first time to share their stories on camera about this incident in Minneapolis that in so many ways changed lives all across the world. And all of these lies, I should say, peddled in Minneapolis helped to do so as well. So this is years of research on this case, thousands of documents that we've poured over the years, working with a remarkable editor. His name is Dr. J.C. Shea, who's the director of The Fall of Minneapolis as well. And we wanted to make this available for free so as many people would see this documentary as possible. And more than 8 million people, I believe, have at this point. But really appreciate you having me on to spread the word about this.
Well, it's incredibly important, thefallofminneapolis.com. So you say the lies. Let's take it piece by piece. What is the biggest lie? What is the big lie that you tackle?
You know, I think first and foremost, we start the documentary out with the body camera footage of this incident. This is the very first time in Minneapolis police history that they've withheld body camera footage from the public, from the police union. And just to back up a bit with my story, I was working in corporate media at the CBS station, WCCO, for years when this transpired. But I was so bothered by the lies the media helped to push over all of this. And I'm married to now the former union president. At the time that this happened. So clearly I had a unique perspective into all of this. But this body camera footage kind of speaks for itself. And that's why we start out with those 20 minutes, beginning with the fall of Minneapolis. You have George Floyd talking about how he can't breathe before Derek Chauvin arrives on scene. You have George Floyd complaining of his health, that he's very resistant to not wanting to go back there, as he discusses. You have these officers asking, what are you on? What'd you take? Again, says nothing. He himself asks to be laid on the ground. And perhaps, you know, even more importantly, Thomas Lane calling for an ambulance 36 seconds after George Floyd is laid on the ground. But we're not allowed to see that. We're not allowed to hear that interaction with George Floyd. Instead, the public is really led to believe something completely different.
Yeah, we believed that Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd. How do you think George Floyd died?
Yeah, I like to say, too, this isn't the how did George Floyd die documentary. This is so much more. And I think you really talked about this, the fall of a once great city here in the Midwest in Minneapolis. Just the fall of Minneapolis can really be traced to this very incident. But you have, I'll talk about that a bit. You have this autopsy conducted on George Floyd within 12 hours of his death. And there's really some telling conversations that we know about now. We've done a lot of reporting on this at Alpha News, where I work now, alphanews.org. But these conversations that are taking place with Hennepin County prosecutors and Dr. Andrew Baker, the Hennepin County medical examiner, that clearly point to no asphyxiation, no strangulation of George Floyd. Toxicology tests eventually come back. There's methamphetamine, three times the lethal amount of fentanyl in George Floyd's systems. More than that, he has a bad heart, just recovering from COVID. He has a paraganglioma, which is a very questionable tumor that many people have wondered why more testing wasn't done on that. Medical professionals have described him sadly as a bit of a ticking time bomb, but that is not what the public is allowed to hear and to see. Instead, you have these behind the scenes, I'd say, meetings that are taking place with prosecutors, with Dr. Baker and the FBI. They go on for several days. This isn't me as a conspiracy theorist. I'm a reporter. This is all publicly documented and was available to the press. And you have this sort of changing narrative a bit when it comes to George Floyd's death. And that's well documented in the book and in the documentary as well.
There were 17 errors in the autopsy regarding George Floyd. Let's play cut 95, please.
An article published in a peer-reviewed journal identified 17 errors in George Floyd's autopsy. Do these errors raise questions about how George Floyd died?
Yes. In patients that have acromegaly, they tend to die from cardiovascular complications such as heart attack or arrhythmias.
Do you feel in a way they were trying to hide this information?
I'm not sure if the medical examiners were trying to hide it, but it seems like the prosecutor team was trying to hide it.
What is MRT and why does it matter for this case?
Something else that is clear in that body camera footage that we're not allowed to see. This is the maximal restraint technique known as MRT. You hear Thomas Lane refer to this in the body camera footage, a part of police training for years in Minneapolis. But instead of telling the full story, the full truth about what happened, you have the very next day, the mayor of Minneapolis and the chief of police at that time, Madera Arredondo, quickly say this is not something police have been trained in. This is not something we recognize, despite Thomas Lane talking about this during that interaction. But just recently, MRT was taken out of policy by the Minneapolis Police Department, and that happened just within the last year. So this has been something that has been allowed, that has been trained for years. And instead of Judge Peter Cahill allowing MRT to be a part of Derek Chauvin's trial, it was not allowed. So many have questioned why is that? They were not allowed to speak of MRT at trial. Instead, you have the head trainer and you have the chief of police under oath take the stand to say this is not how we train. But you'll see in the fall of Minneapolis, there are more than a dozen Minneapolis police officers who say that they, in fact, were trained in MRT, and just basically what that lie, peddling all of that, did to the department.
And this was not an inconsequential lie. This lie resulted in the death of thousands of people across the country, radical racial politics, billions of dollars of property destruction across the country, the defunding of police, direct interference into our election around this lie. And is it true that the original Hennepin County autopsy report showed that George Floyd died from causes unrelated to restraint?
I will say that the original autopsy did not even have the word homicide on that document. So I think that that says a lot. You also have Amy Sweezy testifying to she had conversations with Dr. Baker, who said the evidence is not matching up with the public narrative. This is the type of case that ends careers. So there is certainly so much fear here and so much manipulation. And these officers, we've continued to follow their stories. They speak to us from prison. They're you know, want people to question, you know, are you okay with the media controlling the narrative? Are you okay with our justice system being controlled by the mob?
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Now that we are launching into a general election season, Patriot Mobile wants to celebrate with a special offer, just in case you haven't made the switch yet. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. All you need is to stop procrastinating and go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie and use offer code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which gives you incredible coverage without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message, just like we all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious liberty, sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. So get your free month of service today at patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Get a free month of service when you use offer code SPRING24. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Amazing folks. Check it out. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. So let's show Cut 98. Liz Collin is continuing with us. The fall of Minneapolis. Let's play Cut 98, please.
Several of those witnesses testified that MRT, or the maximal restraint technique, was not a part of Minneapolis police policy.
Oh, the it wasn't part of the training. The pages that were didn't want to be presented in court because they weren't in the manual. I've seen the manual. I've read through the manuals. I've seen them. They're not in the manuals. Well, they sure as hell are in Derek's training manuals. So how can they say that they don't exist?
That's Derek's manual.
These are Derek's training manuals.
And MRT is in there?
Yes. It's in there.
Wow, that is a very, very powerful clip. I've never seen that aired. And was that presented in Derek Chauvin's trial? And did the chief of police commit perjury?
Yeah, as I was saying, Charlie, in the earlier segment, Judge Peter Cahill did not allow MRT to be a part of Derek Chauvin's trial. What's interesting to point out, I recently had a conversation with Tu Tao, who is in a federal facility as well, and MRT was allowed in his trial. In that case, it wasn't a jury that decided Tu Tao's fate. It was Judge Peter Cahill himself. So just the way that this was sort of going on behind the scenes, the manipulation and how things were allowed in one case and not allowed in the other really, I think, should raise a lot of eyebrows. But no, MRT was not allowed in Derek Chauvin's trial. And you're right. We have the chief of police and, again, the head of training testifying to the fact that MRT was not a part
of policy. So the judge did not allow that as a defense for Derek Chauvin? How is that possible? Like, who is this judge? I don't understand.
I think that a lot of people are asking questions, how is that possible? And that was sort of the point of bringing this to light, because there are so many things that people should be questioning, especially if you believe in this, you know, so-called justice system. And basically, Judge Peter Cahill, in a ruling, said that he would not allow MRT in Derek Chauvin's trial because there was no proof that Derek Chauvin last signed his name in the last time MRT was taught to the Minneapolis Police Department. So that was his deciding factor there.
I want to play Cut 99. This is remarkable. So we haven't seen or heard much from Derek Chauvin. Let's play Cut 99.
This call is from a federal prison.
During the trial, several witnesses, including Chief Arredondo and Inspector Blackwell, testified that they didn't recognize the technique you and the other officers were using, as if it was not a part of Minneapolis police training. But was MRT
the maximal restraint technique part of training and policy?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. 5-316, maximal restraint technique, right in their written policy manual.
Hold on. Excuse my ignorance, Liz. What federal crimes did Derek Chauvin commit?
The federal charges were based around a violation of George Floyd's civil rights. So that's where that focused. But again, if you are questioning the federal government's involvement in the case, I think that is also something that should raise eyebrows and cause alarm. They were called, the FBI was called in this case within just a few hours of the incident. Again, nothing that's happened in Minneapolis before. So again, this was supposed to be all about race. Remember, this is a white police officer who murders a black man in broad daylight in front of a crowd. And nobody wants to talk to Alex King, the black police officer on the job for just a few days, who is the one who arrests George Floyd. And Alex King speaks to that in the fall of Minneapolis, that his story didn't fit the narrative. So nobody seemed to care about that. Or how about Tu Tao, who we've also spoken to at great length from prison as well. Here's a Hmong American officer, grew up in Minneapolis, wanted to be a cop. After a police officer helped him, he grew up in a pretty troubled home growing up, and he sort of tells that story. So again, there was just so much more to these police officers, to this incident himself.
This is such an important conversation. I'll be honest, this just drives me really. I'm getting really upset over this. I just want the truth. If Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd, you should go to jail, 100%. But I want all the facts here. I don't want cover-ups. I don't want all of a sudden, oh, that's not in the police training manual and people are lying and they're perjuring themselves. We want the truth. I do not want speedy, quote-unquote, justice just to try to accelerate a color revolution. I have no interest in that. So, Liz, I just want to take a pause here as we're talking about the film. I can't imagine this has been easy for you. Because you're a very credible person. You're speaking out about this. What has your experience been since the publication of your book and the production of this film?
Yeah, so I'm a Minnesota native, Charlie. Grew up sort of watching the station that I ended up working at. Kind of a full circle moment a bit, living the dream. And, you know, I thought journalism was always about finding the truth, informing people, helping them make better decisions. That's what I still believe in. But I really saw corporate media change before my eyes, pushing very dangerous, divisive narratives that I really just couldn't get behind because the facts were not there. It seems critical thinking in many ways has gone out the window. Our job is supposed to hold people accountable and push back. But no, things have not been easy. I was the subject of several protests in the wake of all of this. How dare I be married to a police officer? Who is the union president at the time. And I left corporate media over all of this. I lost the position that I held for a dozen years at that station. I was kind of put in a closet in a way because I did. I did push back and I said, you know, there's this. We need to bring this to light. They're lying about. My book is called Lying for a Reason. Because I kept shouting that for months on end, but it seemed nobody wanted to listen. And so that's why I left and went into independent media to set the record straight, not only about this story, but to give a voice to so many others who just, they don't have it. I mean, you know better than anyone. They don't have it in the corporate media world. And, you know, there are death threats and, you know, I get called names and, you know, at first people would ask, you know, why would you put yourself out there like this and why are you doing this? And I'm just so fearful if we don't, Charlie, if people don't speak up that know better. You know, I'm a person of faith. I know like you as well. So I felt like this was what I could do in my small role.
I'm just kind of speechless. So, I mean, I want to ask more pointedly, though, what is modern journalism now about? Because it certainly isn't about the exploration of truth. Is it about protecting sacred narratives?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. I kind of ask myself that each and every day when I see certain headlines or certain stories, because it's not why I got into this business, you know, decades ago. You know, now we live in a world where people pounce on viral videos or certain sound bites. We're not looking at the full picture. So it is, I think, easier to manipulate a population when that's happening. You have a lot of, you know, people nowadays as journalists, they grow up with social media. It becomes more about how they're feeling rather than facts. So I think that's been an issue as well. I know I sound like a dinosaur here at this point talking about this, Charlie, but really, I think we're all paying the price for that.
So unreported to this, I mean, we have been led to believe that Derek Chauvin is the worst person ever. And again, there could be a heated debate of whether or not he conducted himself correctly, but there's far more to this story, and you've highlighted this. And because of how much his character has been assassinated, and you've demonstrated that he was just following the police procedure manual, he has been stabbed. How is his health? He's in prison. He's serving a federal sentence and a state sentence. How is his health?
Yeah, talking about that, we put out this documentary. It's 9 days after we do that he is stabbed at a federal facility where he's been with no incidents at all by a former FBI informant, this John Terskak, who, tried to murder him the day after Thanksgiving. He was in the hospital for quite some time. He's back now in the medical unit at that same facility. I know his family has been able to see him recently, but he's still struggling, had some nerve damage from that stabbing. And interestingly enough, he's left alone in the law library for the first time when this takes place. It seems as if, you know, he's working on his case, his appeal, and seems like, you know, somebody doesn't want that to be happening here, this appeal. And this is just very, very frightening. He is recovering. But he also is not allowed many things. He doesn't have access to his materials still to this day, months later, after this stabbing. And, you know, he's obviously been cut off. He was working in the prison before and such, but basically confined to this medical unit and only allowed outside a few times a week.
The world is in flames and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But it can't and won't ruin my day. Why? Because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. It's 100% America and 0% grift. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, you got to check out right now blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie or use coupon code Charlie for 20% off your first order. That is blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Check it out. Promo code Charlie. So I want to just give you the opportunity here. The film is extraordinary. And again, I love the truth. And I remember how people got so caught up in this hysteria and it became an irrefutable thing that this was like the worst thing that ever happened to American society. You wrote a book and then you did the film. As you, as a journalist, were looking for facts, what did you learn that shocked you? That as a journalist, you said, you just were so like, I can't wait to get this out there. Talk about a couple things in the production of all this that really moved you as a journalist that surprised you the most.
You know, I think that, sort of living with a police officer during all of this and, so many of these officers in Minneapolis were forced from this career, from this job that they loved. I mean, the department went from nearly 900 the beginning of May of 2020 to less than 500 are how many Minneapolis police officers are still out there working. And I think that's what I really wanted the public to know about all of this, you know, as well, these dominoes that fell that simply did not have to, how they're served up to the mob to surrender the third precinct. That was a high profile incident that obviously happened with the riots. They weren't peaceful protests, no matter what corporate media was telling you. It's just astounding to me what these men and women were forced to go through in the riots because of these lies. And so it's not only you have so many victims in all of this, you know, the story goes beyond the officers in prison. Certainly there, you know, is something to be said about George Floyd and how he was acting that day, how he was arrested and acted the very same way in 2019, but also an arrest that you know, that lies were told about that, that they'd never heard of George Floyd before. They'd never had anything to do with him. Well, he's the subject of an undercover drug investigation a year earlier. But the public wasn't allowed to know that as well. So again, all these men and women who've left the department, they tell their stories for the first time. We have an officer who's still on the job. And what's that like in Minneapolis nowadays? So there's just really so much here. And you know, sadly, this has become so political, which I don't understand. And there's this line in the sand, you know, the corporate media has completely ignored the documentary, of course, because it went against, the narrative that they pushed from day one, despite the fact they were privy to the truth here.
So let's keep on diving into this here. How has the city of Minneapolis changed since this occurred? Has crime gone up? Is Minneapolis safer since Floydapalooza?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason we called the documentary The Fall of Minneapolis. I've yet to find someone who thinks Minneapolis is better off now. I talked about the police numbers down nearly 40% in that time since May 25th of 2020. Not only that, I just was checking recently. There's been 1,000 stolen cars in Minneapolis just within the first 2 months of this year. Alpha News, we just released a report today, a story about a survey that was done, and this was among all Minnesota law enforcement, so all across the state, and 80% of law enforcement in Minnesota now will not recommend this profession to their friends and family. They wouldn't recommend this job, and 98% fear prosecution. And why do you think that is? Of course, it's because of this case. And this didn't end with the Floyd case, Charlie. We continue to follow many stories about officers, being prosecuted. It's basically what many of these, radical left-wing politicians have run on successfully in Minnesota.
So specifically in minority communities, have they seen an increase in crime? Because the whole idea was that Black Lives Matter, we need to try to improve the condition of Black America and Black urban corridors. Have they seen improvement with crime, with break-ins, carjackings since 4 years now, June of 2020?
Absolutely. I mean, you have homicide rates that are nearly twice as high as they once were. I believe it's the last 3 years have been the highest homicide rates on record in the city's history. Carjackings weren't even reported before all of this. They weren't even tracked. Now there are hundreds every year in Minneapolis. Dozens so far have transpired this year. Hundreds of robberies just within the first couple months of this year. So despite what many of these politicians tell us in Minneapolis, crime is not down. It's way up.
Yeah, and is there any adjustment from the Democrats who run Minneapolis to try to increase police presence? I know there was a debate about defunding police and police levels. Where's the average run-of-the-mill Democrat in the Minneapolis City Council when it comes to crime and policing?
Yeah, this is what's interesting and frankly heartbreaking as a reporter having to cover. Not only have we talked about the prosecution of officers, but there have been 8 first responders killed in this region in the line of duty just within the last year. That includes 3 Burnsville first responders, a fire medic, and 2 Burnsville police officers who just recently were murdered on the site of a domestic call that they were responding to. So this is just really horrific. What's interesting now, though, is you do have the DFL talking about how they are supporting the police and whatnot. But, their words have been pretty loud about what they've said before and what they have not. So those are stories we continue to cover here. We can, of course, only hope that they will tone down this rhetoric and whatnot. But in Minneapolis, I should mention, you have the majority of the city council in Minneapolis are socialists. These are self-proclaimed socialists. This isn't me just saying that. So people are certainly going to have to vote differently if they want something to change, especially in Minneapolis.
The Fall of Minneapolis. So Liz, this film is crowdfunded. Also, you work with Alpha News, who's just terrific, and people are sending me Alpha News stuff all the time. Just talk about what you know, the other factors of this film. I'm sure when you put together a film like this, you don't know the direction totally that it's going to take. It's been seen by millions and millions of people. Anything else in this film that you want to discuss that we haven't touched on?
You know, I think that's the thing I always like to say about the documentary, Charlie, is we want people to feel free to think for themselves. This isn't you need to think this way, but we wanted to bring them as close to this case as possible by speaking to Derek Chauvin, to his mother, to Joni King, the mother of Alex King, and him as well. And how would this perhaps have changed your perception of all of this if you would have known this early on? And there's really no reason for this to have been kept from you for years. Because again, I've received, you know, so many emails people who have admitted that this really did change their mind, and they're upset that this just wasn't told to them from the start. I did want to give a quick shout out, if I can, if people are in the LA area. We'll be there with Brandon Tatum. I know a friend of
yours,
so that's why I'm bringing this up.
He's the best. That's great.
But HorowitzFreedomCenter.org, there are tickets available. We're doing a special showing of The Fall of Minneapolis. So I wanted to go ahead and get that out there, Charlie.
That is great. And any way we can promote all of this, Liz, I mean, I'm enthusiastically behind this because, you know, we took some very firm stands against BLM while it was happening when we were called racist. And this thing from a very early perspective didn't feel right. It felt forced. It didn't seem like we were getting the entire picture. And I guess that's my final question. Being the subject matter expert on this, what would justice look like in this, with this entire story?
I think justice would look like they come out and they go through, many departments do this, they go through the entire body camera footage. Here's what happened. Here's the entire interaction. This is how police officers are trained. I think justice looks like the truth. They should kind of go hand in hand. I think that's the point to our system, that why are we allowing this? Why are we allowing this to be manipulated and for things to be withheld? If you care about justice at all, you should care about the truth.
Yeah, I mean, truth, justice, and the American way. That's what we used to say. And truth and justice are the immune system for a country, for a civilization. And if you suppress one, you're weakened. You suppress both, you get completely taken over. Also, talk about your book, Liz. The name of your book, I know it accompanies it. Tell us about that as well.
Yeah, so it's They're Lying, The Media, The Left, and The Death of George Floyd. You can find it on Amazon. It's a bit more of my personal story and kind of how I got wrapped up into all of this, but so much about the case and many of these officers sharing their story as well. And we'll continue to follow this on Alpha News. If people want to subscribe, everything is free. AlphaNews.org. We also have an app available as well. But really appreciate all the work you guys do there. I should say about the book, Turning Point President wrote the afterword for the book.
Oh, wow.
A gal by the name of Avery Severson.
Oh, yeah, no, we know Avery. She was wrongly accused of something at some deal, wasn't she? What was that story again, that she was for some hate crime or something, and it wasn't her? It was at a high school in the suburbs of Minneapolis, right?
Yeah, absolutely. She was called a racist, all these horrible things, and didn't commit anything that she was accused of. And she sort of writes that story at the end of the book here. And that's why I bring this out, too, is we really got to fix this for our next generation. You know, that's kind of the quest that I've been on. And Avery speaks to that in the book as well.
Liz, thank you so much. God bless you. We're behind you 100%. And the truth is what we care about. And we've been lied to. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.